We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Happy Monday, as Jill would say. Happy, happy Monday. Anyway, got showers moving through parts of the western part of Oklahoma right now. And nothing heavy. I've seen maybe 3 or 4 tenths down there between Granite and Blair, somewhere in that area down there on radar they got this morning, which is good. We'll take it all. Looking at the Long Ranger, it looks great, unless you're a hay farmer. I think it looks like the new updated Long Ranger this morning showed maybe Sunday is the only day coming up a week this weekend that we don't have a chance of rain. So, which is good. I mean, we just reversed roles from what we was last month till now, so we'll take all the rain we can. Believe me, I got oats that need to lay down. Got to make a decision sometime this week what I'm going to do. They ain't going to stand there forever. Let's check out some temperatures. 61 degrees at Slap Out, 64 at Beaver, 64 at Fairview, 71 at Helena, 65 at, where is that? That's Butler. 67th Eric, 75 down here at are down there at Hollis, and 67 at Tipton. Let's see what temperatures look like out in the Texas Panhandle. 64 at Lipscomb, 80 degrees at Goodlett, 72 at Odell, and we have 73 at Memphis. You know, I'll have your forecast out here in the Texas Panhandle coming up here in the next segment. What'd you guys do this weekend? It didn't rain. Did things dry out where you could work? I know I got some spraying done. And what else did I get done? Oh, the man. Talk about the thistles coming. The musk thistles and the Scott's thistles. They're coming on like crazy. I looked across down there, that bottom. I got a 30-acre bottom down there below the house. And it, from where I was standing at the distance, it looked like a palm tree out there in the middle of the oats. And I was like, what the heck is that? So a little closer view, it was a musk thistle sticking up there. It was one plant, but I mean, this thing was 7 foot tall and getting, it was growing up above the oats. So me and the pup, we went down there and it wasn't flowering yet, but it was just starting to, the heads were starting to turn pink. Getting ready to scatter, went down there and cut them off and put them in a 5 gallon bucket and burn them with some diesel, and then cut the rest of the plant off at ground level. I didn't have a shovel with me, but it won't grow back before then. But down in the bottom, man, between the musk thistles and Scott's thistles, I got them. I think I knocked them down pretty good. Went around and sprayed them with a little Roundup mixed with diesel, get some air time. Just doing this pump up spraying the Ranger. Got my other spraying done on my future Milo field. One more round on the corn and got all that done. And but anyway, speaking of spraying, I've been seeing and hearing from other people a lot of pairs of quail running around the neighborhoods. So keep in mind, if you guys will, when you're spraying your pastures and your agriculture ground, give them a highway there along your fence lines. And I know you'll say, well, there'll just more weeds grow on the fence line and spread the weeds. You're going to spray it again next year anyway. So give them some room. That those quail highways, I call them the super quail highways, gives them a area to move from one place to the other. And you'll be amazed. It only takes 5 foot. They can go along the fence line and not worry about the hawks and other predators, plus the weeds and the grass. Give them a little food to eat there. So if you do, be mindful of your quail, and you'd be amazed what, a 5-foot weed line and grass line around your pastures or farm ground will do. And I know there's too many people like clean ground out there, but everybody asks me, hey, where's the quail at? And there's a lot going on with more than quail besides the superhighways, but we got to give them some space. Let them have it, because they travel a lot more than you think they do. So keep that in mind while you're spraying this year. What else is going on? Let's see what happened overnight in the ag world. There's always something going on. Wheat futures were lower in overnight trading amid strong world supplies after the Black Sea Grain Initiative was extended for a couple more months. This agreement, which is keeping shipments of ag products flowing out of Ukraine, was extended into July after intense talks between Ukraine and Russia, Turkey, and the United Nations. While Ukraine exports have been diminished greatly, the fact that its supplies will see the world market in a less incumbent way will lead to increased global supplies. Ukraine, according to the USDA, is going to produce 16.5 million metric tons of wheat in the 23-24 marketing year, down from 20.9 tons a year earlier. Exports are seen at 10 million metric tons from 15 million from the previous year, according to the USDA. And just kind of give you a bird's eye view about how much that 16.5 million metric tons of wheat is compared to what we do here in the U.S. I looked it up for you, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it as soon as I can find it. Let's see here. There we go. Google. Okay, so China produces 137 million tons. They're number one wheat producer in the world. The EU, the European Union, produces 134 million tons, metric tons of wheat. India, number three, 103 million metric tons. Russia, 92 million metric tons. Coming in fifth is the United States, and this is going off of last year's production. And as you guys know, in the U.S., we were way down because of the drought in Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas. 44.9 million metric tons. Australia is at 44,000 metric tons, not million, and that's the U.S. Australia is 38,000 metric tons, and down here, Ukraine's at 21,000 or million tons. I guess that's right. Yeah, metric in thousands. Yes, this is all millions. I messed that up. But anyway, you guys get an idea. So in Canada and I think North Dakota's the next biggest producer of hard red winter wheat. Ukraine produces the same amount as Kansas and North Dakota combined. That gives you an idea how much that they're putting on the market there, if that gives you, because in those two states there are biggest producers of wheat in the United States. Still, traders are concerned about the U.S. hard red winter wheat crop. Participants in the Wheat Quality Council's annual wheat tour peg production in the state, the biggest U.S. producer of hard red varieties at 178 million bushels of yield of 30 bushels per acre average. Kansas growers produced 244.2 million bushels of wheat at the yield of 37 bushels an acre last year, and is down last year. So it just shows you how bad it is this year. It's down 7 bushels an acre in Kansas. Wheat for July delivery fell 7.25 cents to 5.97¾ cents a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. While last night, Kansas City futures lost 13.5 cents to $8.10¾ cents a bushel. Corn futures added 3¾ cents to 5.58¼ a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery was up 6.5 cents to $13.13¾ cents a bushel. Soy meal fell 50 cents to 408.60 a short ton, while soybean oil dropped 18 to 47.09 a pound. Hedge fund managers and other large firms held a net short position or bets on lower prices of 87,661 future contracts on corn last week. That's down from 104,000 the week earlier. In wheat, they increased their net long positions in hard red winter wheat futures to 15,129 contracts last week, up from 5,912 contracts the week before that. Investors had held a net short position of 115,000 soft red winter wheat contracts, and that's down from 119 a week earlier. So that's what's going on there. I figure these guys on that wheat, I was kind of looking that up. These wheat, one of the reasons why wheat future contracts are up is because wheat is down right now. And I hopefully in the next few weeks with wheat harvest getting lower, if you look on social media, harvest crews are moving south towards Texas. I haven't seen any. If anybody's seen any, let me know on the text line at 580-225-9697. I would dearly appreciate it. Harvests start and hopefully wheat goes up because they're not going to be a lot. Storms are expected in the southern plains today with some potentially turning severe according to the National Weather Service. Large hail and damage to wind are expected with this storm system. Strong to severe storms will be possible Monday. Slow storm motion may localize flash flooding, especially areas that receive significant rainfall from recent events. The storms are forecast to last through the rest of the week into next week, according to the National Weather Service, and that's in the southern plains. That's us. In parts of eastern Iowa and northern Illinois, meanwhile, flooding continues along the Mississippi River, though some relief may be on the way. The river at Burlington, Iowa, up in there, was at 15.9 feet at 3 a.m. this morning and is expected to drop below a flood stage of 15 foot this coming Thursday and be around 14.2 by Sunday, according to the National Weather Service. Well, today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. I'll have some more on them right after this Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow, gives them a little relief, knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC, it was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Jimmy Clark's calendar goes straight from March 31st to April 2nd because nobody fools Jimmy Clark. A good afternoon to Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 15th. 1,065 head were sold, 12 head of steers at 591, brought 219, 22 at 689, brought 222, 4 at 774, brought 205, 12 at 861, brought 184, 9 at 898, brought 188, 34 at 900, brought 189, 41 at 968, brought 187. 750. Four head of heifers at 453 brought 221. 14 at 559 brought 218. 7 at 767 brought 188. 13 at 787 brought 196. 3 at 790 brought 186. 53 at 856 brought 182. 74 at 892 brought 179. 10 butcher cows were 64 to 107. Butcher bulls brought 97 to 139.75. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction exit 71. Clinton, Oklahoma sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. I'm gone with the big city of Lipscomb up there in the northeastern corner of the Texas Panhandle. Currently at 65 degrees, humidity's 83, dew point's 59, the wind's out of the east at 11. Gust right now at 14, peak gusts so far today, 21 miles an hour. Month to date, precipitation, 2.87 inches of rainfall up there. Good for them. No red flag minutes, of course, no sub-freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, Lipscomb, is 67 degrees. There you have it. Currently here at the studio, the Gabe Gadget is saying that it's 67.3 degrees. Humidity's at 79, no rainfall, measurable rainfall here so far today, and the winds are out of the east at 7.5 miles an hour. How about that? Anyway, all right, let's see what current markets are right now. It's, let me update them. They're changing every minute. Looks like everything is in the green as far as grains are concerned, except, you guessed it, hard red winter wheat. Corn, July 568, up over 13. September 502, up 8. Soybeans for July 1341, up over 34. August is 1276, up over 28. Soybean meal for July is up a little over, up 2.5 actually. 411.60 per short ton. August is 405.40, up over 3. Soybean oil, July 48.82, up over 1. And August is 48.86 and September 48.70. Hard red winter wheat down a little over 2 at 8.21 a bushel for July. September is 8.14. Oats for July down 2 at 3.20 a bushel. September is 3.24 a bushel. Let's see what cotton's doing. I haven't even looked at it. July, 86 cents a pound. October, 84 cents a pound. All right, let's see what's happening. Oh, I did get a report from one of my partners in crime out in the field, and Miss Jill Metter, Miss Happy, Happy Monday, girl. Anyway, she said they just passed a harvest crew north of Cheyenne. So, anyway, thanks, Jill, for texting that in. All right, let's see what cattle are doing. Let me tag on. Well, I messed that up. There we go. Live cattle for June, 164.80. August is 163.40. October is 167.97. And live cattle for December, 171.90. Here we go. Now let me get to the feeder cattle. There we go. May feeder cattle is up a little bit at 206.57. August is 234.20. September is 237.17. And October's 238.87, and November almost to 240 at 239.05. January's looking good too at 236.62. Okay, let's see what's there. We go, got it. See what happened last week. with the USDA with its summaries from the livestock auctions. Let's just do Texas anyway. Compared to last week in Texas, feeder steers and heifers sold mostly $2 to $5 higher. Trade activity was moderate on good demand. Local pastures are in good shape and green after recent rain, making stocker calves a highly demanded commodity. Slaughter cows and bulls $3 to $8 higher. Supply was 90% feeder cattle, 9% slaughter cattle, and 1% replacement cattle. 3,822 head went through the sale barns at Texas. I just can't get used to that. Texas got way more cattle than Oklahoma does, and they don't sell a tenth at the sale barns as Oklahoma. It's just crazy. It just blows my mind, but I've heard the reasoning behind it two or three times. But anyway, 3,822 head compared to 5,321 week before that, and last year they had 6,400 head come through there. Let's go over a couple of these prices in Texas. 4 to 5 weights were anywhere from 267 to 279 on the steers. 5 to 6 weights, 267 looked like it was top end. Or that was actually average price is 267 on the 5 to 6. And 6 to 7 weights, average price was 216.81, 231 being the high end on that deal. 7 to 8 weights, anywhere from 194 to 208.25. 203.42 was the average. Compared to last week in Oklahoma, feeder steers were $1 to $3 higher, feeder heifers $4 to $5 higher. Demand good for feeder cattle and improving as the week progresses. Cattle futures continue to move high. Steer calves $4 to $6 higher, heifer calves steady to $4 higher. Demand very good for calves. Numbers of sale barns limited due to wet conditions. Good rains fell across much of the state this week, and much of it in extreme drought areas. You got that right. This weekend's warm weather will definitely improve pastures, slaughter cows. Cattle prices actually move sideways on a minimum movement as beef prices decline. Slaughter cows are $4 to $5 higher. Slaughter bulls, $2 higher. Packer demand very good on limited numbers. Supply included 88% feeder cattle, 11% slaughter cattle, and 1% replacement cattle. All right. Total receipts in Oklahoma last week, 19,974 head, compared to 27,007 the week before, 34,000 a year ago. Let's see what we got here. 3 to 4 weights. Let's go with some on the steers. 3 to 4 weights. Anyway, they was doing good. 312 to 342, 41. On three to four weights, and on 4 weights, anywhere from 253 all the way up to 324. Looks like the average on some fancy ones was 305.66, 273 on some unwinged ones, and 267.80 on some heavier 4 weights that were winged. On the 5 to 6 weights, it looks like anywhere from 254 to 264 on average. 6 weights, anywhere from 224 unweaned, weighing 625 up to 235, 82 for some 627 pounders. And then they had some 667 pound thin flesh brought 226. And anyway, cattle market looks great. I'll have your tomorrow, unless they come in here pretty quick. I'll have your results from the Elk City and the Western Oklahoma livestock auction coming up for you here pretty quick. All right. Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislative representation to protect things like your farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft, in-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales list that connects consumers with OCA members marketing beef, and that's a plus for everybody. If you guys need beef for your freezer, You can get on there in certain your listening area and find guys that produce the market beef for you in your area. Pretty handy deal. Monthly issues of the Cowman magazine and weekly email updates and issues videos. For just $100 a year, you can experience all these member benefits and so much more. That's less than $2 a week or a little over $8 a month to have an association that's working full-time to represent you and to help you protect your way of life. And one more time, I'm going to mention this. Let me see here. Bring it up. There we go. Applications close June 1st, and that's coming up pretty quick here in about a week, 10 days here. You can find the application at the OCA website under Scholarship Opportunities. And just go to www.okcattleman.org/scholarship opportunities menu. The Kiphart Legacy Fund is administered through the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Foundation, OCF. Applicants must be able to show experience, involvement in cattle industry leadership activities, and must be members in good standing of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association or their state Cattlemen's Association. So, got some kids out there need to apply high school or early college. It's good thing. Good. I don't know what the value of these applications or these scholarships are, but anyway, every little bit helps. So anyway, just get on Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association's Facebook page, and it was posted May 11th. If you're in it in the scholarships, the Kiphart Legacy Scholarships. All right. So anyway, we will be right back after this OCA break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
One Mississippi. To Mississippi.
Keep counting at those stop signs, Alex. Full stop, and doesn't go until she counts to five, McSweeney. Because you are a safe driver. And like most drivers who sign up for Snapshot from Progressive, which customizes your rate for how and how much you drive, you could earn a discount for your good driving. So don't turn into an Alex rolling stop and goes whenever she wants, McSweeney. Because once an Alex full stop and doesn't go until she counts to five, McSweeney, always an Alex full stop. Well, you know the rest. Sign up for Snapshot today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or for all agents.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Mickey asked the questions. He wanted to make sure things were properly insured as far as values, not to be too high necessarily. You know, a lot of people are probably going to try to get them on up there where the premium's higher, and Mickey wasn't that way. He wanted real values, didn't want me paying any more premium than I needed to pay, but wanted me properly insured. If you start missing things by $1,000 or $10,000, that adds up in a hurry. Either you'll be underinsured and you'll be disappointed, or you're going to be overinsured and paying too much premium anyways. And Mickey made it a point that we nailed it on the head on every little last piece that I had. He took the time to do that. He made sure it was right. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache hay wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire's flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Well, this definitely ain't hay-cutting weather, but you got to do what you got to do out there. I mean, it's just, I just looked at my app on my phone, and next 14 days, there's a chance of rain every day. Some days more than others, but 30% was the last, and then 60% was the next day. So, anyway, we'll just have to cut her down. All right. Here is your forecast for Camargo, Oklahoma. Currently it's 66 degrees, dew point's 58, humidity 75%. They have had 0.08 inches of rain in the last 24 hours. That is what, 0.08 of an inch, according to people in Roger Mills County that lives around Grimes. That's how they measure their rain there, in thousandths of an inch. The wind's out of the south at 10 miles an hour. 40% chance of thunderstorms today and 74, 50% tonight, 40% tomorrow and 74, 60% tomorrow night, 40% Wednesday and 76, 30% Wednesday night, Thursday 50% chance of rain showers and 77 for a high, 50% chance of rain Thursday night, 50% chance Friday and 78 for a high. How about that? How long has it been since we've seen forecasts with rain every day? Like it or not, that's what you got at Camargo, Oklahoma. Okay. You guys might have heard this, might not have, but I'm going to let you know what's going on. The governor signs the law into effect affecting young rural drivers. Representative Carl Newton, a Republican out of Cherokee, this week thanked the governor for signing into law a bill that will allow teens as young as 14 years old who live or work on a family farm to be eligible for a driving permit to go directly to or from home, work, or school. They've been doing that for years. I guess now it's legal. House Bill 1962, that's the year I was born, becomes effective November 1st. This year, which will allow Service Oklahoma time to prepare for this new permit. Those who run family farms work from dawn to dusk to raise food and other crops to provide for families across the nation, Newton said, allowing these responsible teams to be a more effective part in meeting the needs of the farms by using their driving skills and work around the farm or driving to school will be a major benefit for family farms. I've already heard from a number of people that says this will help them tremendously, and I'm very pleased to be able to offer them the added benefit. Senator Darcy Jake out of Kingfisher was the principal Senate author of the bill. Many children from rural communities begin working on their family farm at a very young age, he said. By the time they are teenagers, they are well versed in agriculture practices and ready to take on larger roles on the operation. The farm permits and license available under House Bill 1962 will aid these teens in their work on their farms and their ranches, as well as make it easier for them to work on other local operations. I'd like to extend my appreciation to Representative Newton for his work on this bill, as well as Governor Stitt supporting our state young agriculturists and entrepreneurs by signing this into law. Newton pointed out that neighboring state of Kansas has had this legislation in place for 60 years and has found it very beneficial. Newton also issued the reminder to teens that this is a special permit to help out their farm families. It is a privilege that comes with responsibilities. Applicants must pass all driving requirements as any other licensed driver. This measure also specifies restrictions for teens operating a motor vehicle while in possession of a farm permit, as well as penalties for those who violate the terms of the new law, including the potential of getting their driving privileges taken away. How about that? So anyway, that's good news. That'll go a long ways. But just remember, it's a privilege, not the right, to be doing that. And I've seen kids around my neighborhood been doing it, helping move farm equipment. Dad move farm equipment when mom's not around, and they do a really good job. So it'll be just fine. All right, you guys might have seen this on RFD TV. The battle with WOTUS, Waters of the United States, continues as the on-again, off-again struggle over this ruling hits several states. NCBA President Todd Wilkinson said that it has been a major frustration for cattle producers across the United States because the rules keep changing. So the average producer that's out there on the ground doesn't know whether they have to turn to what jurisdiction, what's not jurisdiction. They want a fixed set of rules that doesn't interfere with their operations, because the biggest thing that everybody needs to know is that American farmer and rancher are the best conservationists in the world, and they want to protect their land. Todd Wilkerson explains they don't need the government telling them what to do or what not to do. We just need them to stay out of our business, and particularly right now, the EPA. Coming out with the new proposed rules or waiting for Supreme Court decision to drop at any time. A ruling on WOTUS from the Supreme Court for Sackett versus the EPA is still pending, and an injunction blocking the implementation of this rule now exists in 26 states with a temporary stay in another. And I told you guys from the get-go, I'll keep you updated on anything with WOTUS, because it irks me what the EPA and our current president is pulling. They're playing games. They should have just left things alone till the Supreme Court made their ruling and then go with it from there. But no, last December, you guys, we don't know whether we're coming or going, or that pothole in our driveway that's got mud and water in it right now from the rains. Can we do anything with it? I don't know. We better ask. I know majority of the people I know don't give a crap. They'll do whatever they want, but honestly, this is a bad deal. It started back in 2014 when they changed up all the stuff, and it's just a bad deal. So anyway, we'll be all right. Okay. Hay reports from Texas. The direct hay report that came out last Friday, compared to the last report, hay prices remained steady in Texas to firm in all regions. First cutting the alfalfa and grass hay has either been cut or is in the process of being laid down. Price discovery is underway, however, no trades have been reported as of yet. Hay demand is very good across the state. Ample amounts of moisture moves across. I had to add that to my Jim Bonnick's list there. Instead of saying ample, say apple. Everybody knows what you're talking about. Ample amounts of moisture moved across much of the state recently, and abundance of hay is expected, especially in the south, east, central, and north Texas. Hay movement remains steady in all regions as supplemental livestock feeding continues through the early spring months in the west and southwest part of the state, where they're still in a drought down there, major drought. Producers continue to cull livestock due to the lack of last season's hay, even with new pasture becoming flush. This last week here, looks like alfalfa premium to supreme per ton for large square bales at 3x4 were anywhere from $400 to $425. Bermuda grass premium, small squares, $350 to $400 per ton. Bermuda grass premium and small squares, $10 to $14 per bale. Bermuda grass good and premium, large rounds, anywhere from $300 to $330 a ton. Bermuda grass good to premium and large round bales, $150 to $175 a bale. I'm sorry, I don't see, anyway, I just keep my mouth shut. It's a nice price. How about that? Anyway, I was asked that this morning, what I've been hearing about alfalfa, and what I've been hearing is anywhere from 300 to 350 a ton in western Oklahoma, and that's just what I've heard. I don't know if that's the going rate or whatever it is. I know it's not going to be. It's going to be firm. Guys are going to stay firm with their prices this year, just because I did a little figuring on some hay that I put up on some wheat hay I put up on mine, and it made 3 bales to the acre. But with my irrigation and all my inputs, I had $80 a bale in it. So there you go. Inputs are causing it. I know there is some price gouging, especially over in eastern Oklahoma, on hay for people buying it from out here, just because it's what the market can bear. But anyway, I'm being honest with you, and I figured up my cost, and that didn't include labor. $80 a bale is what I got in it for baling, swathing, irrigating it twice with a side row. My wheat seed cost, my fertilizer cost, and my chemical cost. $80 a bale, and it made, not quite, but I'm just rounding up there for easy conversation, 3 bales to the acre. So there it is. Let's take a OCA break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around Western Oklahoma. So the other side of our business is we fuel fracks. We have an automated system that we fuel fracks. We go through so much volume of diesel that we get a good price on it. It's just like anything. The more you buy, the cheaper the price. So we buy so much volume that we get a better price, and we're allowed to move that over to the ranchers and farmers. Our whole thought process was, you know, we're making money with this. Let's start fueling some farmers and move that price break over to them. Yes, price is the first thing, but reliability, knowing that when you call and ask someone to show up, they show up. Do what they say. I really am prideful about doing what I say. I want to always be there. I want people to call me and know that I'm going to show up and do what I say.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
It's been said that Jimmy Clark is the only man on the planet who can slam a revolving door. Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 12th. 1,293 head were sold. 11 head of steers at 244 brought 322. 3 at 457 brought 270. 5 at 554 brought 232. 6 at 599 brought 237. 3 at 687 brought 208. 12 at 6.
691, brought 196. 4 at 945, brought 155. 12 head of heifers at 380, brought 234. 3 at 490, brought 228. 4 at 526, brought 217. 6 at 541, brought 218. 13 at 542, brought 223. 6 at 692, brought 170. 18 at 900, brought 176. Butcher cows were 43 to 105. Butcher bulls brought 70 to 125.50. Bred cows were 860 to 1475. Pairs brought 575 to 2500. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the OCA Hour, Oklahoma Cattlemen Association. I have picked the city of Mangum, Oklahoma, down there. It's the capital of Greer County. Dew point is 60, humidity is 66, rain, they've had 26 one-hundredths of an inch in the last 24 hours. The wind's out of the southeast at 13, wind gust up to 18, 72 degrees there, and sunset will be at 8:35 this evening. Today, 80 degrees, 50% chance of showers. Tonight, 50% chance of showers. Tomorrow, 30% and 79. But tomorrow night, 70% chance of thunderstorms, very likely. Wednesday, 78, 60% chance of showers. 30% chance Wednesday night, 40% chance Thursday and 79. Thursday night, 60 degrees and 30%. And Friday, 40% chance of thunderstorms. There's your window, 30, 40, 30, 40. Cut hay Wednesday night. Thursday looks good. We only got, there's a 4 in 10 chance it's going to rain. What you got to lose? Get your hay rained on or what? So, anyway, great forecast for everybody in the Texas Panhandle and Western Oklahoma, including the Panhandle of Oklahoma. Coming up tomorrow evening at Chattanooga at the Civic Center, join Ag Defense Risk Management for a complimentary ribeye steak dinner, 6:30. Then at the Rook Star in Cheyenne, Wednesday, 6:30, same thing, ribeye steak dinner. How many people out there is going to turn down a ribeye steak dinner? I've called some kin folks from up Kansas. They're coming down. It's free. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, 6:30 on Thursday at the Senior Citizen Center there in Thomas. Another deal for the Ag Defense Risk Management. Come find out some new stuff coming up. They'll be sharing the latest details on recent changes in subsidized programs offered by the USDA through federal crop insurance that helps to manage risks you face related to lack of rainfall and falling cattle prices. Leave your checkbooks at the house. Just go figure it out. Enjoy your ribeye dinner and see what's happening at Chattanooga tomorrow night, Cheyenne Wednesday night, and Thomas Thursday night. And more to come. They got way lots more to come of these coming up. They're letting everybody be in very informant, and like I said, ribeye dinner is hard to break. I think, if I remember right, Randy Holly might be the cook. That's just rumors I've heard. These stuff that I hear at these coffee shops, you can take it with a grain of salt. But anyway, go enjoy a free ribeye dinner at one of these places this week. Three chances to go get one. Okay, let's see what's happening. Let's check out the drought monitor. I know we've been getting rain, but I've told you all along we're still in the drought. And the updated drought monitor, it looks about the same with the Texas northern, very northern tip of the Texas Panhandle and a D3 and a D4. Almost all of the Oklahoma Panhandle is still in a D4. All along the Kansas-Oklahoma state line, except for the very southeastern part of Kansas or north up there by Miami, it's in a D4. Looks like, I'm going to say, three-fourths of Kansas is still in a D4 and a D3 drought. As you guys have heard on the weather, everything east of I-44 in Oklahoma, it's pure white. There ain't no drought going on, but everything west of that line is we're still in a drought. I know we've been getting rain, and you just need to, but you know, this thing can shut off just as quick as it can. Any rain that was generally too late, it's probably too late for the Southern Plains winter wheat, is which it was quickly maturing. More than half of the wheat, 52 and 51% respectively, in Texas and Oklahoma was rated very poor to poor by mid-May. A recent estimate by the United States Department of Agriculture indicated that 32% of the nation's winter wheat will be abandoned or already has been abandoned. That's the highest since 1917, including 70% of the Texas crop. Oh, I did get a text in earlier. Somebody said they seen two machines headed south Friday, south of Godibo. So there is some machines headed there. Let's see, what did it say about Kansas here? Statewide in Texas, didn't say nothing. I thought I seen something in there. Southeastern Oklahoma, you have nothing to worry about. But anyway, everybody else west of I-44 is still in a drought. Okay, let's see what's happening in the profit tracker. Cattle margins steady, pork remains in the red. Profit margins for beef packers and cattle feeders were with little change this week, ending May 13th. Cattle feeders saw average profit margins of $340 per head, while packers found margins at about $87 per head. Cash cattle prices averaged $175.94, up from average of about 60 cents per hundredweight. Wholesale beef prices were down about $3 per hundredweight to an average of $303.76 and per hundredweight. The beef and pork profit trackers are calculated by the Sterling Marketing in Vail, Oregon. Cattle sold last week carrying a total feed cost of $571 per head. That's down $20 per head from the previous week, but 19% higher than the $463 feed cost same week a year ago. Cattle marketed last week had a break even at $151.01 per hundredweight, while cattle placed on feed last week had a break even of $163.15 per hundredweight. Cattle placed last week are calculated to have purchase price for 750 to 800 pounds, feeder steers at $203.43 per hundredweight, and feed cost of $5.11 per head. The feeder steer price is 23% higher than last year. The estimated total cost of finishing the steer last week was at $2,114 per head, up 12% from last year's estimate of $1,872 per head. Fed cattle slaughter estimated at 2,600 head, about 18,000 head more than the previous week and 4,000 fewer than last year. Same time. Packing plant capacity utilization was estimated at 83% compared to 83.9% last year, so it's down about 7.7%. Fair to finish hog producers saw losses of $13 per head last week, about $7 per head less than the previous week. Pork producers saw profits of $73 per head the same week a year ago. So lean carcass prices averaged $79.62 per hundred, an increase of $2.77 per hundred weight from the previous week. Pork packers lost an average of $3 per head last week after breaking even the previous week. Last year's pork producers were losing $33 a head. Hog slaughter was estimated at 2.375 million head. That's down 60,000 head from the previous week, but up 12,000 head from last year. Then pork packer capacity utilization was estimated at 87.4% compared to 85.6% last year. There you go. There's your latest from the hogs and the beef. So anyway, what's that tell anybody? I'm not so sure. I know what it tells me. I'm glad I'm not in the hog business right now. How about that? Beef business, everything looks good. I guess the Packers aren't making as much money as they did last year or the year before, but I'm sure there's a lot of people out buying Kleenexes feeling sorry for them. But we all got to learn to this all needs to jive. And I know you hear about the Big Four and all this, but you know what? We got lots of processors around here, and we got lots of feedlots and stuff, especially up northwestern Oklahoma. We can handle it. We'll make it through there. You guys have a great day. Hope you enjoy today. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.